Good morning. Good evening.
Hello. Good evening.
How are you doing?
I'm in company right now, and I need to go and fix their dinner and come back.
Okay.
Is that all right?
Of course it's all right. Right now, are you the only...
Okay, well, it's probably going to take me between 5 and 10 minutes, and I'll check back.
Go ahead and do what you have to do, Hannah.
Okay, and then I'll check back. I'm going to go ahead and get off, and I'll just come back on. Okay, thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
I know that.
Father?
How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Hannah had to do something for about 5 to 10 minutes, so I told her I'd wait to start until she got back.
Okay. No problem. I'm going to go mute for a bit.
No problem.
Anna, I'm back.
Welcome back.
Okay, thank you.
Marco's also on the line.
Okay, I have to do is get my hand out. I'm ready. I mean, I'm ready. I have it right here. I just have to get it out of my little packet.
When you get it out, do we want to start over at 4 a.m.? Or do you want to pick up where we left off last week, which should be preparation of components for the mitzvah?
Right. I have it.
Okay. So I need directions. Do we start at the beginning in 4a? Because it was a little confusing for us last week. Or do we just start at preparations of components of the mitzvah?
Well, I thought you gave real good examples last week that helped a lot. Unless Malcolm wants to repeat it. You know, we talked about the movement of the Sephirot relative to each other, and you gave us the example of two persons being on the ground with their feet touching, and about its midpoint can't be in a square. And I'm trying to think what else, just from memory. But anyway, what does Malka want to
do? Yeah. Well, she's muted right now, so I don't know if she's able to.
We can move forward.
Okay. Thank you, Mama.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you'll find the handout on the You'll find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 11. The second column from the left is for advanced implementation classes. When the landing page opens up, scroll down to class 24D, as in dog. And that'll open up at preparation of components of the mitzvah. And this is where we left off last week, so we will pick up from here. An example would be acquiring the four species between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Yet what about a mitzvah that does not require any preparation of a component? Give me an example and I will attempt to explain it. There are always outside components to almost any mitzvah. When one prays, as an example, one had to purchase a siddur of a prayer from the heart. In the Shulchan Aruch, the mitzvah of prayer deals with Hebrew prayer and recommends that one have a siddur. No positive mitzvah does not require a preparation of components. This component relates to Keter and the separation between Malchut of Keter and the Yesod of Keter, in my opinion. Preparation for the Kavanah, for doing the mitzvah. This relates to the separation between Chachma and Keter, as described above, in my opinion. The study of the mitzvah from the commentaries and the written and oral Torah, this relates to the separation between Bina and Chachma, in my opinion. When one anticipates the pleasure of doing the mitzvah or connects to the pleasure of the mitzvah for their own sake or after doing the mitzvah, in other words, think about that event in their lives, this is not doing the mitzvah to give pleasure to the Creator, which is what we need to do. This relates to the separation between Zeranpin and Bina, in my opinion. The physical act of doing the mitzvah relates to separating between Malchut and Zeranpin, in my opinion. One day there will be an addendum to the various lists of mitzvot. which will include these five categories of creating separation. Then people will begin to actually do teshuvah, knowing what they did incorrectly, since the actions that they do in this lifetime relate to the mistakes they made in earlier lifetimes. If anybody is interested in doing this list, which will be posted on the Hashem website, let me know. This may be a collaborative effort, so let me know if you would like to do a number of mitzvot instead of all of them. Perhaps I will be able to put you in contact with a group already involved with this Yeshem project. The second division of atonement is when a person violates a negative mitzvah, for which his teshuvah is suspended. It does not evoke immediate forgiveness, and so for which Yom Kippur must atone. This is because the person sinned and damaged the world of Yetzirah, specifically the level of Tiferet, causing Malchut to separate, as well as the sixth Sephirot of Yetzirah. His simple repentance only reaches to Malchut, and therefore he needs the engine of Yom Kippur to fuel and propel the Teshuvah up to repair the world of Yetzirah. My commentary. Yom Kippur is a day like Purim. This means a day after Mashiach arrives. All mistakes and sins will be corrected, and we will start over completely righteous. That is actually what happens on the day of Yom Kippur, and that is why the above comments have been made. They are hints to the changes that happen to every human being on that day, providing they have done their spiritual work during the 7 weeks of consolation and the days of awe leading up to Yom Kippur. It is important to note that there are deeper degrees of teshuvah that indeed by themselves ascend to Yetzirah, and even above, to mend. This applies to the following divisions of atonement that require other things with teshuvah to repair. The deeper one digs in his heart to return to Hashem, the greater the velocity and the higher the teshuvah will reach. The deeper one digs in his heart to return to Hashem, the greater the velocity and the higher the teshuvah will reach. Therefore, nothing stands before teshuvah. The underlying idea is that the common denominator of Bina and Teshuvah both draw from Bina. As mentioned, Teshuvah is the grand transcending energy of existence. The secret of its power to repair is that it is the pure, pristine, untainted source in the universe. Anything that can be so fixed by harnessing this amazing energy. The only issue is how much of this energy needs to be drawn to fix a specific mistake. The greater the mistake, the more needs to be drawn, as we find in actual cases of those who did the worst things and repaired everything through teshuvah. When this person repents, then Malchut returns to its place in the secret of Teshuvah, Tashuv Hei. However, regarding the six Sephirot, a void remains among them. And though it, Malchut, wants to rise and bond with them, it cannot and will not be able to until the light of Briah, which is Bina, comes, which is called Yom Kippur. This is what is meant by his teshuvah is suspended, and Yom Kippur atones. A day one repents is above time, and so is Yom Kippur above time. Once someone did something and etched it into reality, how can they possibly change it? It must be that the power of repentance draws from a higher reality, and so the sages teach. Teshuvah preceded the world. Coming from a deeper dimension, it affords the ability to enter the master booth and edit the film of life. In order to access this awesome power, one must go to a deeper dimension of the self. Change in such a place evokes a tremor of change in the depths of existence, in the depths of reality. Within this level, there are also the four levels we mentioned with respect to Asiyah, except that all of them are in the secret of Yetzirah, descending into Asiyah and not into the Klipot. The third level of atonement is when a person commits a sin whose punishment is karet, excision, which blemishes Briah. And that is a footnote number 14, which I'm jumping to now. Footnote 14. These cases are mostly enumerated in Parashat Kiddushim. In Parashat Kiddushim, we have the second reading of the similar do not do sexual acts. Do not uncover your father's new wife. Do not uncover your aunt. Do not uncover your sister. All of this language, which is a duplicate from chapter 18 of Vayikra, Leviticus, recurs in chapter 20 of Leviticus. One is dealing with the level of Malchut, and the other was dealing with the level of Bina. And this is what the footnote is implying. I'm now returning to the place we left the footnote. Karet comes from the Keter, for its damages reaches to there, and from there the person is cut off. Perhaps here things are being said in relative terms, for the Ari here mentions the world of Briah in terms of its association with Hakma and Bina and Atzilut with Keter. While elsewhere, the Briah is identifies with Bina alone, and Atzilut only with Chachma. The effect of the Chilul Hashem is worse than that of sins involving Karet, and is therefore described as reaching until Keter. Karet issues, which are not as bad, are described as coming to a notch lower, Chachma and Bina. This, however, doesn't mean to say that they have no line to Keter also. The Brit, the covenant Hashem established with people, is as if it is from his highest, Keter. And that's footnote 15, so we're jumping to that footnote. That is relative to us. Indeed, the intrinsic divine essence is infinitely aloof even from Keter. Even the supernal Keter is dark before the cause of causes. That's a quote from the Zohar. But in the manifestations of the Sephirot, Keter, the highest Sephirah, is as if the highest rung of divinity, the highest rung of holiness. We're now returning to where we left. Different mistakes cause different problems. Some do not go so deeply as to disturb the Brit. There are, however, those that do. This is the idea of our category at hand. The brilliant light of Keter becomes Karet. This is a prime example of how raw energy can be utilized either way. Footnote 16. As seen soon also by our other word pairs, such as Oneg and Nega, Shefa and Pesha. In truth, from the mouth of the Supernal One, no evil comes out. The, so to speak, divine face manifests to a person according to what face that person shows Hashem. The pure, pristine Keter force is most certainly not given to be tainted, no matter what anyone does. But a person can blow the circuits and cause the expression of this energy to himself to be harmful. The holy connection to Hashem in the aspect of the Brit can turn to losing connection above and being left bereft of manifest godliness. We're going to return to where we left off. As seen from here, Teshuvah helps even for such deep disturbances. When one repents, Yom Kippur is also only able to suspend his atonement. For Tiferet and Malchut cannot return to their places until suffering comes from Abba and Ima, which has the effect of purging sin. In the secret of Yud-Heh, Yah has much chastised me. Yah refers to Abba and Ima. Also in the secret of From the Straits I called Yah. From these come trouble and suffering. There are four levels here as well. As mentioned previously, the Yud of God's name corresponds to Atzilut, which is Chachma, which is Abba. The following He corresponds to Briah, which is Bina, which is Ima. Chachma and Bina, the eighth and ninth Sephirot, transcend our world of 7 days, seven directions, from the seven lower Sephirot. As said, the simple meaning of this is that the secret of how suffering actually fixes and is good comes from a source above this world. Suffering purges a person of sins that the lowest degree of Teshuvah has not. Suffering purges a person of sins that the lowest degree of Teshuvah has not. It is a function of providence emanating from Hakim and Bina. As mentioned, it is important to note that the amount of suffering necessary for rectification all depends upon the degree of Teshuvah. The greater the Teshuvah, the less pain necessary to make repair. What do Chachma and Bina have to do with suffering? The world is created for love. There is nonetheless an opposite movement planted in the inner workings of the universe, which is designed to ultimately bring about the greatest expression of love. One who makes mistakes damages and soils his soul and makes it unfit to receive this love. Suffering cleanses and restores the soul to its full fitness. Hakma and Bina are the source mental faculties. The lower Sephirot are the source of both the emotions and the time-space continuum. This means that from their perspective, good and bad are determined by what is experienced in the moment. In terms of the moment, suffering is felt as being not good. In order to appreciate the gift of good that it grants the soul, one needs to transcend the small, limited picture of the moment. This is why the tikkun of, the tikkun of suffering is drawn from Hakma and Bina, which transcends the moment, the world, the limited outlook. The fourth division of atonement is when a person commits a Chilul Hashem, profaning the name of God, which has the effect of damaging Atzilut, also called the world of eternal life. Since there is no death there, yet he caused some aspect of death in the world of life and eternity. And therefore his teshuvah and Yom Kippur suspends the punishment, since none of the three worlds can ascend there until the day of his death, measure for measure. This then completely atones for him, and there are also four levels here. Dishonoring the divine name shakes the foundation of existence. All that I created for my honor, I created, I formed, indeed I made. Dishonoring the divine name does the opposite and shakes the foundations of existence. This is how it touches the untouchable place, Atzilut. Even though it is intrinsically a place of such pure, high light, no damage can affect it. Chilul Hashem, the profanation of God's name, can at least masquerade to reach there, because it is such a serious sin. The literal meaning of the word chilul comes from halal, literally meaning empty. Halal is also used to refer to a corpse, which is devoid of a soul. The implication is very deep. This word is further associated with the concept of the halal haponiyai, Hapa Noi, empty vacuum. The original empty space that was made to facilitate reality. A line of light was drawn into the vacuum. From it, everything was made. As said, the purpose of this is for the divine glory. Dishonor, as it were, cloaks and removes the shining of the line of light, leaving an empty vacuum. Hence, Chilul Hashem. I thought there was a footnote, but there wasn't. Now it can be understood why removing of the soul of one committed this sin repairs it. Measure for measure, he caused halal, the vacuum above. Therefore, the same happened to him. This, however, doesn't mean to say that there are no other means of repair. The simplest alternative, which is actually sweet and easy, is for someone to increase in honoring and sanctifying God's name. Give him a good reputation in any and every way that you can, that the name of heaven should become beloved through you. This is an unwritten commentary, but this is the idea of bringing people closer to Hashem. Continuing this last paragraph. A deeper form of repair is through deep teshuvah. One who caused the concealment of the deepest aspects of divinity needs to return to Hashem from the deepest aspect of self. And this involves teshuvah from great love and mezirut, self-sacrifice. Measure for measure. Hashem reciprocates and restores this missing light and honor. Giving the deepest inner self revokes that level to come down from above. Moreover, great are repentance, for they draw light with extra power. The light restored is actually greater than what was removed. As we learned, or that we are taught, that teshuvah brings someone to a higher level than even a righteous person who never sins can reach. That is the end of the section. Are there any questions?
Can you give me an example of what profaning the name of God means?
Are you looking for an example of what someone does that profanes the name of God? Or
right.
What is the meaning of it?
Yeah, an example.
is it your back against God or blaming God for an action or...
No, it's bowing down to an idol.
Okay. And that could mean lots of things.
Of course.
Because of the definition of an idol. Okay. But that helps. I know years ago, before becoming Jewish, it was thought that cursing was profaning the name of God. And that thought came back to me. So that's why I asked for an example.
I understand. does cursing profane the name of God? At this point, do you think it's that cursing does that?
I don't think a person necessarily, when they use profane language, are actually even thinking that their thought isn't even of God. It's of the situation and not linking it. I guess on probably a low level it may be. But again, it's always kept in awe what's their intent and what's in their heart at the time that sometimes that language we call cursing, you know. So
First off, let's separate the idea of cursing with bad language. Someone saying "go to hell." There's no. It's not a curse of God's name. But when you made the statement, someone who's using profane language is thinking about the situation and not about God. That is why it profanes God's name, because he has left God. His consciousness is no longer connected to God. And that is the same. That is a very strong negative action.
Okay.
Because when you lose the consciousness of God, you leave creation. It's a difficult concept to understand. I do relate to that.
Right. Well, I wasn't even thinking that deep. I was thinking of damn or hell, you know, people are just, and especially the F word in today's world is equivalent to what used to be damn in our, you know, when we were growing up.
You know, I have once said to, more than once, but a few times I've said that in English, profanity is about body parts. The F word, the S word, it's about body function. In essence, there's no consciousness of God in those words.
No. And especially since we know the morning prayer, you know, the bathroom, what we call the bathroom prayer, you know, it really brings you to that consciousness.
Correct. Now, in French, they don't use body parts to swear, to profane God. The words they use are all about the church. They say the word tabernacle in a demonstrative negative way. Tabernacle means the tabernacle.
Mm-hmm.
So they are still connected to God. Even though they're profaning his name, but it's on a much lower level because their consciousness is dealing with the concept of God.
Well, I'm glad I asked the question. Thank you.
I am glad you did. It's very helpful. We can, if you scroll past the footmark, what are they called? The footnotes. The only one we didn't read is on regarding the essay of body. It's number 18. It's the last one in the list. And the earth shines from his glory is a statement in the Talmud in the section of Haggigah. And Haggigah is a section with Rabbi Akiva's story of the four tzaddikim who went to heaven, and you know only Rabbi Akiva came back safely. The others went through various stages of disruption, from death to becoming a heretic.
Mm-hmm.
Honor and light are conceptually synonymous. When you honor someone, you figuratively grant them existence. The more honor you give them, the more they are real to you, to themselves, and to the universe. As seen in worldly terms, the more prestige a person has, the more power they have. Light also possesses this quality. Even though everything that exists in a room exists equally with light or without it, the meaningfulness of all that is in the room depends greatly upon light, upon the essence, the connection of that physical thing to Hashem. So should we stop here, or should we go on to the three different kinds of sin, the next section?
Well, I'd like to stop because I have the company.
I understand. Maka, do you have any...
I agree.
Okay. So we'll pick this up next week, and obviously it's a short section, so we'll finish... finish it and go on to chapter 22.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And I'll just remind you, I think there's 38 or 39 chapters, so
okay.
we're just a little over halfway through.
Well, it's been different this second time around.
Well, that's the way Kabbalah is supposed to be studied. You
right.
study the same material over and over until you know. And each time you hear it, each time you study it, you become something different. It becomes something different. So have a good evening, both of you.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
You too, Monica. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye, Anna. Bye, Anouk.
Bye-bye. Shalom.
Shalom.